read this. Everybody pay attention. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Listen to this part. He says, meditate on it day and night. Wow. Meditate on the Bible day and night. That's what he's saying. Why? So that you may be careful to do. Everybody say those words, to do. Everything written in it. So we have a responsibility to meditate on the Bible. Why? So that we be careful to do everything that's written in it, meaning we are accountable for that. So we need to get into the Word. We need to meditate on the Word day and night so that we're careful, very careful to do everything in the book. Here's the promise. Then you will be prosperous, and then you will be successful. Don't raise your hands here this morning, but how many people would like to be prosperous? How many people would like to be successful? That's what our world's all about. People are chasing after prosperity. People are chasing after being successful. And Joshua's saying, hey, people of God, you know what the key to being prosperous and successful is? Get into the book. Meditate on it. Find out what's in there so that you can do what's in there. And as a result of doing what's in that book, the result will be this. You will prosper. You will be successful. Why? Because you're doing what God wrote in His book. I love that promise because I didn't have the highest ACT score. I didn't go to the highest of colleges for education. But in spite of all my shortcomings, I can still be prosperous and successful because one thing I do have is I have the Word of God. And I have the ability to meditate on this Word and find out what's in it so I know how to live my life. And when I live my life according to what I've read, the promise is, Mike, if you do those things, Heather, if you do those things, Sherry, if you do those things, you're going to be successful. You're going to prosper. It may not always look the way we think success and prosperity looks like. I want to say it's going to be much better. Is everybody with me? My whole goal in the next 3 or 4 weeks is to convey that to you, that the Word of God in your life is very, very important. It's essential. And so since it's so important and since it's essential, we need to know how we get God's Word into our lives. We need to get God's Word into who we are, the fabric, the DNA of who we are. So how can we do this? Well, what we're going to do in the next few minutes is we're going to kind of have a very practical classroom setting. And I'm just going to share with you some practical things that we can do in order to get God's Word into our lives, okay? Because here's the deal. If you're going to prosper, if you're going to become successful, if you're going to become the person that God wants you to be, if you're going to be a growing believer, if you're going to be growing in your soul, I want to let you know you're going to need the Word of God. And George Barna says this, that we attend Bible-believing churches where most people don't even read their Bible. And we're not here today to condemn. We're here today to encourage. We're here today to tell you that this is God's love letter to you. God is showing you how to be successful. God is showing you how to be prosperous. God is showing you how to live a life that you'll be at the end of your life, you'll say, that was good. And so many of us, we just forfeit this beautiful, beautiful opportunity we have to spend time in God's Word. So my prayer is for every college student, every person in this room, that we'll begin to cultivate the Word of God into our daily lives, okay? But there's some practical steps that we need to take. So just for the next few minutes, we're going to share about 3 practical things that we can do to make sure that we get God's Word into our lives. First one is very, very, very important. The first thing you need to do in order to get God's Word into your life is very important. Lord, I just pray right now that you'll help us in this journey. Speak to people's hearts. Speak to people's hearts right now, I pray, in Jesus' name. The first thing you need to do, folks, is write these things down. Even if you don't take notes, do what? Write these things down. First thing you need to do if you're going to put God's life word into your life is you must accept its authority. Everybody write that down. I have to accept its authority. This is probably my most challenging point of the day. Hold on tight. If I'm going to accept God's word into my life, I got to accept its authority. I defined authority this week and it said this. Authority is the power or right to give orders and make decisions. I thought that was a great definition. The power or right to give orders and make decisions. Keep that on the screen there so everybody can see that. Let me ask you a question. These are the same questions I've asked myself all week. I'm asking you. Don't respond. This is a very personal issue for you today. The question is, does the Bible have authority in your life? Does the Bible have authority in your life? Let me ask it this way. Are you allowing the Bible to give you orders? Are you allowing the Bible to give you orders? Are you willing to have the Bible tell you how you should live your life? Are you allowing the Word of God to guide you in making your decisions? If the answer is yes, that means you've given the Bible authority. If the answer is no, then you haven't given the Bible authority. But if you're going to accept the Word of God into your life, you need to make sure you accept its authority. See, when we accept the Bible's authority, it means that we no longer call the shots. Ouch. When I accept the Bible's authority, it means I don't call the shots. It means I give God veto power. It means I say, God, even though I don't understand, even though there's times I don't disagree, even though at times the culture is going this way, the current is so strong flowing that way, Lord, then your word's going this way. Even though that's happening, I give your word the final authority. Final authority. So let me ask you again, have you given the Bible authority in your life? I think there's a great verse that says it all. It's a verse we'll put on the screen. I broke it up in sections because I want to talk about it. 2 Timothy 3:16 would be a great verse to memorize, a great verse to post on your refrigerator, on your bathroom mirror, wherever you put verses you want to see often. This is a great verse. Paul writing to younger pastor Timothy, who's pastoring this humongous church that's much bigger than who he is as a person. Paul says to Timothy, he says, all scripture. If you're not aware of this, the Bible is made up of 66 different books. It took about 1,500 years to write those 66 books and bring them together. So there's 66 books, all scripture. And it says all scripture is inspired by God. I'm not sure if you're aware of this, but out of those 66 books, it took 40 different people that God used to write those books. 40 different people wrote 66 of those books. See, Paul wrote several of them, so that's why there's only 40 authors and 66 books. I want to let you know that when these people wrote their book, that God that wrote the books of the Bible, they didn't do this on their own. They didn't come up one day and say, oh, I think I'll write a book of the Bible. No, it was quite the opposite. God came upon people. And the Bible teaches that God inspired these people to write what they wrote. So they're not writing their own ideas that fit the culture of that day, but these people were writing as they were led by the, what? The Holy Spirit. So they're not writing just ideas and thoughts that this is what life might look like, this is how it might work. No, God, the creator of you, the creator of the universe, through the person of the Holy Spirit, came upon these 40 people, and that's why it says all scripture is inspired by God. It's inspired. He led them to write these words. And check this out. It's useful to teach us what is true. Key word there is true. I want to stop and camp out on that word for a moment because we're living in a culture where truth is what they call relative, meaning that truth is, let me explain this as clearly as I can, it's subjective. It's open to what you could call changing from situation to situation, from generation to generation. And relative people who believe in relative truth, it's all about, I'm going to live this issue out of convenience. And what's happened is we have become a culture of everything is relative truth. It's up to interpretation, how we feel, how the culture is leading. How many people know that's a very dangerous place to live? But when Paul says the word is true, he's talking about it is absolute truth. It's absolute truth. Regardless of what our culture says, when we read something in the Bible, it's absolute truth. If the culture is going right and there's a truth and it's going left, we stay with what? The left. It's absolute truth. And we need to get that right because nearly 3 out of 4 Americans say there's no such thing as absolute truth. Three out of four people that you're going to run into this week are going to say there's no such thing as absolute truth. Everything's relative. Is it any wonder why our world's in a mess today? Somebody could say yes. Why? Because truth's always changing. If it feels good, do it. Do it this way, do it that way, okay? But Paul's saying all truth, it teaches us what's true. The Bible is there to teach us that these truths don't change. Even though the culture changes, and the culture we're living in is changing faster than any other culture that people have ever lived in the history of mankind, our world is changing that quick. But what's happening is what's happening even in a lot of local churches, they're becoming like the culture, and they're saying, well, that part of the Bible is relative. You really don't have to live that way. I want to be so gentle. I want to be a loving pastor. I want to be a caring person. I want to say for myself, there better be absolute truth for my life. And I want to say for us as a church, I want to say this. I don't really often talk about the Assemblies of God, but I am credentialed with the Assemblies of God. And I'm very thankful for that because I believe in we have a denomination that believes that the Bible teaches us what is true. And I'm so grateful for our denomination. I'm so grateful that there's men of God and women of God that are standing up even when they're being persecuted. They're standing up for the truth of God's word. Okay? And Paul goes on to say, and this scripture makes us realize what's wrong in our lives. I can't tell you how many times I've read the Bible and I realized it became a mirror and God showed me some things that were wrong in my life. Things like not gossiping. Things about being hateful. And I read the Word, and the Word showed, Mike, you don't live like that. It's not the call of God for your life. I'm so thankful that God's Word teaches me what's wrong in my life. And I'm open to the authority of God's Word to say, hey, Mike, I'm the authority. You need to change in that area of your life. That's very important. It corrects us when we're wrong, and it teaches us to do what's right. Aren't you glad that you have a book that teaches you to do what's right? Aren't you thankful that there's a book that teaches you how to prosper and be successful? And that those steps are by living the way God's word says. You may be persecuted. It may be difficult. You may stand against the crowd. But I want to let you know, if you stand on God's word, if you accept its authority, you will be blessed. Amen? How's everyone doing this morning? Everybody wipe the sweat from my forehead, your forehead? But really, the first step is really, you got to really make a, you got to have a come to Jesus meeting, folks. Your pastor can't do it. Your wife can't do it for you. Your husband, your mom, your dad, your parents can't do it for you. You've got to decide for yourself that I accept the authority of God's word. And I want to let you know that decision you make, if you accept or reject, that is really going to form so much of your life. It's going to be a building block. It's going to be a foundation for your life, what you do with God's word. My prayer for you today is very simple. Lord, help us to be people who accept the authority of God's word. Even in the year 2016, Lord, we want to accept the authority of your word. Does everybody have enough of this? Say, move on. But we can't, folks. You got to put this in you. Number two, you need to do this. Second way you need to get God's word into your life is you must get acquainted with its truths. You got to get acquainted with the truth of God. You got to get acquainted with what's in those 66 books. You got to get familiar with what's in the Word so you can live the Word, so you can be successful, so you can be prosperous in God's eyes. A couple ways we need to do this. You can write this down. A couple ways you need to do is by listening to God's Word. Folks, we all need times where we listen to God's Word. I want to personally applaud you for being here this morning. What you're doing is you're putting yourself in a position to listen to God's Word. Listening. It's very important that you listen. Because there's a verse in Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing what? By the word of God. You got to listen. I want to speak my heart to every person here this morning. Please consider making listening a priority. Please consider making church a priority. Opportunities where you can come in and you can hear the word of God. Please make that a priority, a value, something you say that this is what my family, this is who we are. Please, please, please make church a priority. I didn't always understand it at the time, but I grew up in a family where my parents were just new first generation Christians. Both came from broken homes by alcohol. They got saved watching a Billy Graham crusade on TV. And I don't know what, God did amazing work in my parents, and they just knew the value of going to church. We were there Sunday morning. We were there Sunday night. We were there Wednesday night. We were there 51 weeks a year. We were there. I didn't always understand it. I thought my dad was fanatical at times, an extremist at times. But I sit here today at 51 and so thankful for parents that made the listening of God's word a priority. I look at my dad, and he is probably, hands down, the most successful, prosperous person I know. When Grant had to write a speech class about somebody to honor, he chose his grandfather. He chose my dad as somebody that was successful and prosperous. And I'll tell you what, the foundation is the word. And I'm not ashamed to say that. There's no doubt in my mind. The word being there, being in the house of the Lord, allowing somebody to teach you his word is so important. I mean, go on vacation. Went to church. Come on. Yeah, we went to church. When the Bechtels, when we're gone from here, I want to let you know we're going to church. I want to let you know if I wasn't a pastor, we would be going to church. No doubt about it. It's got to be a value, a priority of listening, getting the word of God into you. And folks, we live in a generation where you have such an opportunity to listen. If you have an iPhone, a smartphone, there's about 150 different podcasts that you can listen to wonderful, wonderful pastors preaching the word of God. Download some podcasts. Listen to the word of God. You can go on websites and watch services. Listen. Everybody just say, listen to God's word. You got to get it into you. Second thing you need to do is you need to read God's word. Read it. You got to read it. You know what my biggest joy would be at the end of this series where we're talking about God's word is that people would begin a routine of reading God's word every day. That's how I would mark this series as successful. Okay? Even if it was 5 minutes. And I'm not just talking to adults. I'm talking to teenagers. I'm talking to young people. I'm talking to people who've been in church for 50 years. You got to read the word. Hands down, you got to read the Bible. And here's a couple suggestions I have for you. I have about 4 suggestions quickly. First of all, I would suggest you get a paper Bible. I know there's electronic Bibles, but here's the problem with electronic Bibles. When I'm reading them, I get a text message. I get a phone call. And I'm just so tempted to take that phone call and that text, and I get away from what? Reading. I think it's very important that you get a paper edition of the Bible. They're all over the place. If you don't have one, take the one in the rack in front of you. Get into a Bible where you can get your highlighter out. You can get your pen out. You can highlight things that God's speaking to you. You got to get into the Bible. Get a paper Bible. Number 2, set aside a time each day to read. I know in my disciplines of my life, the things that I want to accomplish, I got to be intentional. Meaning I've got to set aside time to work out. I got to set aside time to do this, to do that. I got to set aside time to read the Word. You got to make it a priority to read each day, saying, hey, I'm going to get up 5 minutes early. I'm going to give God the first 5 minutes of my day. I'm going to get into the Bible. By the way, I suggest, don't let me get ahead of myself. So set aside a time in the day. Everybody, how many people know if you're going to do something, it takes being intentional? Is everybody with me? You got to be intentional. You just got to be. That's just the way it is. It's not going to be, you just got to do it. Okay, number 3, have a Bible reading plan. There's a lot of different Bible reading plans out there on the internet that you can engage with, copy out, read, just begin to read each day. By the way, I would suggest highly that you don't start with where we're reading right now in our church reading plan. We're in Leviticus. If I read about one more infectious skin disease, I am just like speed reading to get through it. But that's just the way we just made a commitment that we're going to read through the Old Testament this year. But if you're not reading at all, I would highly suggest don't start with Leviticus. You'll get discouraged very, very quickly about putting blood on the right earlobe, the right finger, the right toe. I mean, I've read that about 15 times this week. I would suggest if you are not reading right now, there's 4 books at the beginning of the New Testament called the Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Choose a gospel. And choose this to say, Lord, I'm just going to read one chapter a day. I'm just going to begin to read and see how that word is what? It's spirit. It's life. It's my manna. It's my spiritual food. I'm going to learn what the Bible says about how I should live my life. Begin to find a reading plan. And my fourth suggestion is don't just read the Bible. Let the Bible read you. Meaning that when you read the Bible, you're asking questions like, what is God saying to me today? How many people know God speaks? And some people want to hear an audible voice from God. I would love that, but I have found out that a lot of times we're not listening to the word that we have already. It's called the Bible. And God really speaks to people today through his word that have open hearts and saying, God, I read today. What did you want me to hear today? He'll speak. So that's what we need to do. We need to acquaint ourselves with his truth. We need to accept the authority of the Bible. Then here's the biggie. Well, they're all big. They're all important. They're equal. Number three, I must apply the principles of the Bible. How many people know it's not enough just to read? You got to do it. If I live down by the ocean in North Carolina and I hear the weather forecast that the worst hurricane ever is coming and it's going to hit tomorrow at noon, how many people know it's not enough for me just to hear the weather forecast? What do I need to do? I need to do something. I need to board up the house and we're going to get out of town. The same thing is true about the Bible. It's not just enough to read it, listen to it, know it. There's a step you got to take. It's called you got to apply the principles of the Word of God. Apply the principles. That's why James, one of the greatest books in the Bible as far as just practical, everyday stuff, James says, don't merely listen to the word or read the word. Why? Because that you'll deceive yourself. Everybody read this last line together. Do what it says. Maybe it wasn't up there. But this is what it says. Do what it says. We got to do what we read. We got to do what we read, okay? And so what we need to do is we need to apply the principles of God's word to our life every day. So my whole desire as we study the Bible, this little mini sermonette, is saying, God, I want our people to get connected to your word. I want our people not just to depend upon the words that come here in church, which is great, but I want even more so, I want our people to have their own private Bible reading times. So here's my challenge, the last slide. Everybody say 5 minutes.
Five minutes.
Hoping that it will grow from there. But let's just start by saying, God, I'm going to get in this life-giving book, this book that it's spirit, this book that is my spiritual nourishment, this book that I need to grow spiritually, this book that if I do what it says and study and do it, I'm going to prosper, I'm going to be blessed. I need to be in that book because that book is my life.